As you heard in the introduction to the liturgy, my name is Father Bernard Olszewski. I am a Polish boy. And I'm originally from New Jersey, but am now a priest in the Diocese of St. George's in Grenada. It's an island in the Western Caribbean. Except I live in Buffalo, New York. You know, because everyone says, right? Buffalo, Caribbean, it's about the same, you know. Now, I live in Buffalo because it's from there that I travel every weekend to a different parish in order to preach on behalf of the poorest of the poor served by Cross Catholic Outreach. And it is on their behalf that I'm at Immaculate Conception this weekend. I'd like to thank Father Troja very much for his kind invitation to allow us to be here yet once again. Luke tells us today that we are the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus is standing here in our midst, as he did for those disciples, and he says to each and every one of us, "Do not be afraid." The disciples were expecting a different result. Even after every way that Jesus had prepared them, they were expecting the story to go on. But it seemed to them in that moment that the story was at an end. The disciples on the road to Emmaus come back announcing that they had seen the Lord and recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And it is in that moment that Jesus stands in their midst and says to them, "Peace be with you." They are frightened and distressed. They think they're seeing a ghost. And how much like us are we as the disciples were at that time? We look at the world around us and we think this should be God's place. And it doesn't seem to be that way. And we are distressed. We are frightened. But Jesus today tells us, through the power of the resurrection, the world has been transformed. Jesus had to redeem the world, because God created a perfect world, one of justice and harmony, peace and love. But we thought we knew better than God. Sin entered the world and darkness came down. But God always promised that we would be delivered. And in the fullness of time sent his only Son as one like us in all things but sin, so that we could see in Jesus how we are to live. And how we are to live is expressed in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Because yes, we do things wrongly, but we do so out of ignorance. It was a lesson that Peter had to learn in forgiving those who brought Jesus to the cross. It was a lesson that Jesus himself taught from the cross as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." We are those disciples who need to learn how to love as Jesus loved. And in so doing, extend that love to the ends of the earth, as Luke describes it. And we do that when we follow two very simple commands that John speaks of in the second reading. Love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Love our neighbor as ourself. Because when we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, there is no room for hatred. There is no room for division. We recognize that God is one and we are one together and with God. And we show that through the love that we express one to another as sisters and brothers in this world. Today, Jesus reminds us that Scripture has been fulfilled. The world has been redeemed. And now, the light of the resurrection must be extended in everything that we do, until the last traces of the darkness of sin are gone. The world is transformed, and together we hold hands and walk into the glory of eternity. Well, Cross Catholic Outreach was founded to be an instrument of change, to bring God's glory into the world today. We can't cure world poverty. Jesus told us, "The poor you will always have with you." But never did I hear Jesus say that was okay. Because he reached out to all of his sisters and brothers in need, embraced them in love, and changed their lives. And that is what you and I must do. Cross Catholic begins with a simple idea. If you want to know what the poor need, ask them. Then look for ways to meet those needs. So we never invent or create projects or programs, but rather enter into long-term partnerships with bishops and priests, religious and laity, missionaries in the world doing great things. But they need the help of people like you and me to make the work possible and hopefully take it to the next level where we can actually break the cycle of poverty that has kept people enslaved for generation after generation for no other reason except they happened to have been born there. While our work began in the Caribbean, in Haiti, Dominican Republic, Grenada. Today we are in 30 countries across the globe, in the Caribbean, Central and South America, Asia and Africa. And in those countries, we help sponsor 300 projects that run the whole gamut of human need, hospitals and clinics, building schools and scholarships for children to go to school, orphanages, homes for the aged, homes for children with special needs, microloans for families to begin businesses, agricultural projects, and vocational and trade centers where young men and women can learn a skill, get a job, break the cycle. And as important as all of that is, we still need to start with three fundamental human needs, things you and I generally take for granted: adequate food, clean drinking water, safe, secure shelter. Without those, the rest becomes almost impossible. So I'd ask you, in your mind, picture a 6-year-old boy. This young boy lives in a village in Guatemala of about 300 families, and in the village, there is one single source of clean water, pipe that comes out of a wall and empties into a trough. Well, every morning at dawn when the family wakes, this young boy walks down a hill where the family lives, carrying a bucket, stands in line, waits his turn, fills his bucket, and then carries 25 pounds of water on his head up that hill to where his mother is waiting to fix breakfast. That's life for about 800 million people in the world. So we dig wells. Then with villagers lay pipe to bring fresh water to places that have never had it. You know what? Suddenly, life is transformed. Hygiene up, disease down. A young boy can go to school. Mothers can have free time to care for their family. The world is transformed. And that is God's glory, one well at a time. We build houses because there are people in this world who live in conditions that even if I showed you, you wouldn't believe it, because we would not put a pet there. So we build a simple 3-room cinder block home on a concrete slab with a metal roof. When it rains, water doesn't pour through the thatch. Families don't stand in ankle-deep mud inside their home. There's an outhouse and a cooking area. Nothing we would like. But for the families living there, it's a dream come true, because now they and the family can live in safety and security with the peace of mind of a front door with a key they can lock. That is God's glory, one house at a time. The one thing that we all need is food, and so we help to feed people. In this world, 2024, 45% of all of the children aged 5 and under who die in the world die because of malnutrition. Children who survive that suffer the effects the rest of their lives. So we partner with an organization in Minneapolis because they prepare packets of food, and they're called Vita Food. It's rice, beans, vegetables, and flakes of soy, all fortified with vitamins, minerals, and iron, and then packed in a plastic bag. The bag is emptied into a quart of water, and it's boiled for a half hour. So even where you can't drink the water, people can still eat. Each packet feeds 6 people a meal, and they donate everything. But they can't get it to the people who need it. We can. So when we send a 40-foot shipping container of Vita food to a country, we feed 270,000 people a meal. Central America costs about $10,000 for the total shipment. But for that $10,000, we feed close to 300,000. That is loaves of fishes. Last year, we fed over 26 million people. But millions still did not have enough. I know that in the world today, parents are having to choose which children can eat today. Who will have to wait until tomorrow when there might be some more food? What parents should ever have to do that? Mothers in Haiti started their day making what they call good, good bread. Only it's not good, it is not bread, because they scrape up dirt, mix it with a little bit of shortening, a few sprinkles of salt, and then baked in the sun. When a child cries out in the pangs of hunger and a mother has nothing, dried mud cakes are dinner, because at least it is something in the stomach. Now, 12 years ago, in the community of Zacapa in Guatemala, a young lady was brought to Sister Vitalina at the Hope of Life Center. This young lady is the 5th of 7 children, mother deceased, father subsistence farmer. He does his best. But when his daughter, Maritza, was brought to Sister at the age of 14, she weighed exactly 19 pounds. Her 6 brothers had to eat first each day because they had to work the farm with their father. But through the grace of God, the love of the center, and the care she's received these last 12 years, I am happy to say that in her way, Maritza is thriving. And that is God's glory, one child at a time. All of us are baptized into the life of Jesus, priest, prophet, king. We are the prophets of the gospel. Some are prophets called to give by going, missionaries. But most of us are called to go by giving. We do that through thought, prayer, and resources. Today, there is no collection for Cross Catholic, but I do ask your help. At the ends of the pews where you're seated, you'll see that there are brochures. I'm asking you to share those so that each household could take one home. 3 things. First, read it. It tells you more about us, but it explains how miracles can happen. Because we work collaboratively and directly, and because almost 95% of all of our resources go go directly to the poor. We do work miracles. $35 feeds 233 children. $92 helps provide clean, fresh water to a family of four for the rest of their lives. $250, life-saving medicine for a child like Maritza. $500 helps a family begin a business raising chickens and lift them out of poverty for the rest of their lives. And for $2,500, we can begin building one of those homes to keep a family in safety. And so I ask you, please read it. Second, I ask you, do not pray for the poor. Please pray with the poor. Because they who have nothing in this world trust in God completely. If we could learn to pray as the poor do, we could change the world. Please join your prayers with the poor that poverty be addressed. And last, can you be part of the solution? And to do it, you simply tear off the top half. The bottom is a mailer. You place a check made out to Cross Catholic. You could also use credit or debit card. Perhaps you could become a monthly donor like I am. Or you could do this in a different method. Call the 800 number. You could go to our website, crosscatholic.org/outreach. You could scan the QR code on your phone or text the word blessings to the number 474747. Please include your prayer intentions. We begin every workday with an hour of prayer, but on Tuesdays, these are the prayers of that hour. Seal, mail, miracle. If you're thinking you would like to do something, but you're afraid this brochure will get lost, have no fear. I'll be standing by that door at the end of Mass. I'd be more than happy to take this from you, put it together, and I will send it off tomorrow. I stand before you for those you cannot hear or cannot see, because I do know at the end of time there's a very simple test. Jesus will ask, when I was hungry, did you feed me? Thirsty, did you give me clean water? When I needed training or medicine, education, a house, did you help me? And if we can say, yes, Lord, I did that for the least of my sisters and brothers, I did that for you, Jesus will say, friend, come into the glory forever. On behalf of the poorest of the poor, whose privilege it is for me to be their voice for you today, thank you. This morning, as a parish community, we have the privilege